You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a Saturday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. We are here today to preview the San Antonio Spurs game tomorrow in Bankers Life Fieldhouse. And to do that with me, I have Nylon Calculus Rider and big-time Spurs fan Jacob Goldstein with me. Jacob, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm also doing well. Have you been enjoying the first week of the season?
I have. Many, many good games. It's great to have it back. It's such a relief after a long summer.
It gets longer every year, I swear.
Oh, yeah.
The game is on Sunday at 4:30 in Bankers Life. As always, if you use the code LONBA at checkout with SeatGeek, you can get $20 off your first purchase if you would like to go to the game. But let's just dive right into our opponent, the San Antonio Spurs. Jacob, the Spurs are one of two undefeated teams left, them and the Clippers, surprisingly. No surprises are that the Spurs sport the fourth best defensive rating in the league so far. Is that mostly how they've been able to stay undefeated without Kawhi Leonard?
Pretty much. They've been about average offensively so far. They haven't really shot it well yet, but they've been doing a really good job rebounding, both offensively and defensively, and then they've just been doing a good job taking care of the ball a lot. Our last game was against Miami Heat, and we weren't shooting well at all before that, but we finally got a good offensive game going, so hopefully that continues. Well, hopefully for us, it continues against you. And then defensively, they've been really good, as you said. Just the classic Spurs. Everyone knows where to be at the right times. Powell has somehow looked decent, at least in the paint. Obviously, in space, he can't move anymore. But Pau Gasol has looked pretty good when the defense has been able to funnel guys to him. DeJounte Murray is rebounding really well, which is pretty surprising. So it's been a good year. I think Pop, in a recent ESPN like coaching interview between quarters, said that he got guys to play for him by begging. And honestly, that might be true at this point with this roster somehow still being really good at defense. He's probably actually just begging.
Yeah, with Pau, it's funny you mentioned him because I started to notice this in the Rockets series last year, right after everyone would say, oh, you know, the Rockets are going to have a good time against the Spurs because they're going to be able to get to the rim. Pop did a nice job of just sticking Pau under the basket and saying, all right, just stand there and stick your arm straight up. Like, don't move at people. Don't do anything like that. And I think he's done that a lot more this year. I don't think I've seen Pau more than like 6 feet from the basket on defense when I watch the Spurs, which is all they need him to do. But, yeah, it's crazy seeing guys like that who, you know, aren't known for their defense as much succeed so well every year with the Spurs, new guys do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's been like one or two times Pau's ended up switched out on a pick and roll, and it's easy buckets for the other team. But he's legitimately 7 feet tall. I think he has a 7'4", 7'5" wingspan. Like, he's really big. So if he can be in the right spot by not moving, you can get a solid contest on shots. If he has to move, there's issues.
Yeah, I've noticed that myself as well. But they're also second in the league in rebound percentage, the Spurs are, or defensive rebound percentage. I don't remember which one. I think Powell's a big part of that with his 27.7 defensive rebound rate. So that's a lot of it because, you know, Powell's just good at making him play to his strengths. You said offensively they haven't been, you know, great, not knocking their shots down as well. They're 16th in the league in three-point percentage and 19th inside the arc. Is that just no Kawhi or the shots just aren't falling or what's going on with that?
It's a bit of both. It's a bit of no Kawhi, which takes out the main fulcrum. Kawhi's super efficient from everywhere. So that's going to definitely depress the efficiency a little bit. But it's also just shots haven't really been going down. Like Patty Mills, who's one of like our best 3-point shooters off the bench, she's been shooting, I think, like 29% from three. Pau has shot really poorly, both from two and three so far this year. So it's just a bit of shots aren't going down. And it's also, obviously, when Kawhi's not there, everyone has a slightly more advanced role. So everyone has to take slightly more difficult shots to make it work. So if they're able to stay average offensively without Kawhi, I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah, that's incredible, especially with the rookie point guard, that even more so, and Rudy Gay coming off an Achilles injury. It just, to me, before I knew Gay would be back, I thought, man, without Kawhi, they're going to have no creation on offense, but they found ways with whoever. And LaMarcus Aldridge has looked awesome. You want to talk a little bit about him?
Sure, yeah. Aldridge has been – he's been doing what he always does. He gets the ball, he turns around, and it's a terrible shot that everyone throws their hands up, and then it goes in. So there's not too much to complain about. He's still kind of – can be the same frustrating guy who takes a lot of mid-range shots, but he's hitting them right now. And when he's making his shots and playing well, and he seems to be really confident, it pays off. It definitely has been benefiting the team, and really he's been the main guy really carrying the team to still being good offensively. It's pretty much been him, Danny Green, and Rudy Gay doing the heavy lifting.
Yeah, when LaMarcus is sitting him, he's definitely worth $70 million until 2020, right? We talked
last
about
last year's only like already. $6 million guaranteed. So
yeah, no, it's okay if he can keep up this. It's okay. Yeah. You would have no way of knowing this, but on our weekly preview pod, I picked Danny Green as my most likely guy to butcher the Pacers, just because I think he's the perfect fit for a guy who can just shut this team down. He's going to be guarding Oladipo. Almost 99% sure of that. And he's probably the best wing defender on the team with Kawhi out. So, you know, he can shut him down a little bit for how good Oladipo's been at the start of the year. And he's shooting 47 or something, 48% from three so far this year. And he's over 40% for his career. So I just think he's going to have an opportunity to have a great game, especially because the Pacers are having trouble forcing guys off the line.
Yeah, Green's been playing really well this year. He can dribble now, which is weird. Pop used to literally tell him, if you take more than two dribbles in a possession, I'm going to take you out of the game. So Danny Green being able to do normal two guard stuff off the dribble it's a big development. And I definitely think him versus Oladipo will be a lot of fun, because Oladipo has been really good so far this year.
Yeah. How do your projection systems like him so far? For those of you that don't know, I should have said this earlier. Jacob's really good with projection systems and Excel stuff that you see on Twitter a lot. I know a lot of you don't like that stuff, but I love it, so I'm going to pick his brain.
Oladipo has – so I have a wins added statistic, which is pretty much just how good is someone above replacement level. And Oladipo, I think, is 7th or 8th in the league in total wins added. He's been about average defensively so far. But my numbers have him as about a plus +5 on offense, which is really good, especially for someone who apparently wasn't able to help Russell Westbrook at all last year. And now, you know, you give him the opportunity, and turns out he is really good at basketball.
Yeah, we always joke about now how it seems like when he was on the Thunder, he was just learning from Russell Westbrook, and now he's playing like Russell Westbrook, and it's been – I mean, the team needed this, because even I was like, man, they're going to have nothing from the wings if Oladipo can't play well. And he's been way better than I thought he'd be.
Yeah, when Turner went down in the first game, I thought that it was going to be a rough few days until he got back. But Oladipo's really picked it up. He's really been able to handle it, which is a testament to him.
I've been impressed. So obviously it's even more impressive that the Spurs are undefeated without Kawhi. Have you heard anything about, could he be back by the Sunday game? I know it was announced today that he's not traveling to Orlando along with Tony Parker and Joffrey Laverne, I believe, were the three. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah. Is he not coming to Indiana either? Or is that just the Orlando game?
No, he's not coming. It sounds like he probably won't at the earliest mid November. I think Pop was asked about it and was like, yeah, like if he'd be back in November, and was, I think the direct quote is like, anything is possible. So it sounds like they're being pretty cautious with him, and just his injury tendinopathy is, it's just like an overuse injury as far as I can tell. So it's just rest and icing and
that's what I saw when I was
training. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, you got to wait it out sort of.
But that's the best injuries, you know, it's not something chronic or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Hopefully once it's gone, it's gone.
I feel like I read somewhere he had this before in college, maybe. But if it's, as long as it's something that can be like rested out, it's early in the season. As long as he's back by the playoffs, it's really all that matters.
No, he needs to be back sooner because I picked him for MVP. And I need
him. Well, I did too. So
I need him to get those minutes in to do that. So for the Pacers, I know the Spurs seem to have, just because they're undefeated in there, the Spurs, and they win 55 plus games every year, seem to have them overmatched. But do you think there's any matchups that the Pacers will be able to exploit? I should let you know that Turner has like probably a 60% chance of playing in this game, if that changes your answer.
I mean, if Miles Turner is in there, I think he could really beat up on Aldridge and Gasol. Aldridge is a fine defensive player, and Gasol is good when he's in the right position, but Turner just has – he has an offensive game kind of similar to Aldridge's, except he's younger and can still move really well. So I think he'd be able to beat up on them. I think Thaddeus Young could actually give him problems, just because Aldridge would probably struggle to keep up with him for a full game if Young is playing the power forward against him. And then if Sabonis keeps up whatever this weird streak is, it that could also give him a lot of problems. So I think there's a few guys that could really sneak in there.
Well, you said off front court, guys. I want to throw this in there. We're recording this on Thursday. The Thunder game was last night, and Sabonis was 1 of 9 against the Thunder. So I think it's just Chesapeake Arena that he can't shoot well in. But it's funny you say Thad against Aldridge. How is LaMarcus Aldridge's pick and roll or pick and pop defense? Because that's how Thad's been getting a lot of his shots or pocket passes off of pick and rolls or pick and pops.
I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but just from watching – seems like he's been more hanging back. That's just been the way they've been scheming it, is have the guard like either Murray or Green, because they're both good defensive players. Have him try to funnel the ball into the paint effectively. So if Young is able to hit those mid-range jumpers on him, I think they'll probably leave him for him at first at least. And if he starts making them, maybe they'll adjust. But they'll probably be there, just based off the way they've been scheming teams so far this year.
Wow, what a novel concept to scheme teams to shoot the worst statistical shot. Yeah, I worry in a way about that. What you just said is them scheming to set up these mid-rangers, because I know that Thad and Miles Turner and Oladipo and Sabonis all think that they're, you know, stud mid-range shooters, and they're all pretty good, but it's just not a shot you want to see shooting a lot, especially against the Spurs team that has their plan 6 steps ahead. So the second you miss, you know, you're giving up points. So that makes me nervous. For mismatches, the Spurs can exploit. I already talked about Danny Green. I also think Murray and Collison are like polar opposite players. So I think whoever has the better game there is going to look really dominant.
Yeah, I love Darren Collison. I wish he would have gotten more minutes last year in Sacramento. But he's been really good this year. He's been passing the ball fantastically. He's been doing a really good job getting that offense going.
Yeah, it's been nice. 16 assists against Minnesota was unbelievable. I really went into a film breakdown for that game on Hoops Habit, if you guys haven't read that yet. But that was a fun one. Do you think Rudy Gay can do anything against Bojan Bogdanovic? That was a very loaded question.
Where are you at him, Bojan? Just because the advanced stats don't really like him, but then when I watch him play, he does seem to have more value than just the numbers suggest. So has he been playing like well this year? Because by advanced stats, he's been really bad. I don't know.
He played awesome against Minnesota when he was guarded by Wiggins, but he was able to – oh, and Shabazz Muhammad, even worse. But he was able to get to the rim a little bit, which he's been doing every game. But that's the only game his three was falling. And because he was playing two guys who kind of fall asleep off ball, they ran floppy for him a few times, and he was just able to get a wide open wing three-pointer. But his defense has been just atrocious all year.
Yeah, he's not known as a stopper by any sort.
No. Does Gay start now? I don't actually know who's the
player. Gay has been coming off the bench for every game. But, I mean, he might start at some point, depending on how – if Gasol keeps shooting so poorly. I think the Spurs like the punch he brings off the bench. He played a little center in the last game.
Wow.
So I don't know anymore. Who knows where he'll end up playing. But I think he probably has an edge over Bogdanovic, But if Bogdanovich goes off, there's also not much you can do to start slowing him down.
Well, I picked him because I thought he started, but I just looked it up. I did not know that Slo-Mo has been starting. I'm not a big Kyle Anderson fan. I don't really think he has a place in the modern NBA. Has he looked okay this year so far or not?
Yeah, it's pretty much okay. Like I like Kyle Anderson.
I'm glad you do. I do not.
Yeah, I like him, but he can't move fast enough to start. A lot of his dribble moves only work because they're so slow that people aren't ready for them, if that makes sense. Like when he does a Euro step, his steps are so slowly paced that the defender gets out of place by the time he's actually shooting. I think he would be a lot better in a complimentary bench role than actually starting. But I think this is Kyle Anderson starting instead of Rudy Gay is, one, Rudy Gay, I believe, is on a minutes restriction.
Okay.
Of some sort. He's been playing like 24-ish minutes a game, so I think it's somewhere around there. And then I think they want Kyle Anderson starting because he's a lower usage player relative to Rudy Gay. So he fits more complementary with the current starters setup, which is pretty much to get Aldridge shots.
Yeah, Kyle Anderson, eighth on the team in usage. So that would, I believe you on that,
yeah,
one.
Yeah, he's very low. And then he's looked decent in his time playing, but I'm with you that he's just kind of, he doesn't really have a great space in the modern NBA. He's by all accounts, a brilliant basketball IQ.
Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So I was just going to say, he's a really smart player. I think he's going to make a really good coach one day. I just don't think he has it in the actual athleticism required to play in the league.
Well, I knew coming out of UCLA, his thing was he can do it all just very slowly. Mm-hmm. And that when the Spurs drafted him, I was like, damn it. Like the Spurs make everyone amazing and they got this do it all guy. And he's going to look awesome. But he's just too slow, and like the shot has to fall for him if he's that slow. And 42% from two and 58% from the line is just not cutting it. And I know he's shooting 50% from three, but that's not a thing. That's fluky from four games. But yeah, it's
he's taken like two threes. So
yeah, he made one of them. But so yeah, I don't know. I think Rudy will have a good game. I think it makes sense to use him as a sixth man, just given his play style. And I think him and Patty Mills are both gonna have great games against the Pacers second unit, even though former Spur Corey Joseph will be locked in on Patty Mills.
Revenge game.
He's played them before.
Yeah, well, he's played well against us before too.
Yeah, he has. Well, he has it's funny because when I watch him play, I feel like he'd be the kind of guy that the Spurs would just kill, because when he's not the best catch and shooter, and when he dribbles, he kind of just dribbles the heck out of the ball so much that he gets shut down. But he does have good games against the Spurs. That is true. This is a random question I didn't put on our itinerary. Is Bryn Forbes still shooting like 1,000,000,000%, or is that just preseason?
That was just preseason. Uh-huh. But he also hasn't really shot very much so far.
I remember he's played you like tweeted 20 minutes total. Shooting percentage over 100 in the preseason or something crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had one game where he was just on fire. And I'm sure he'll have games in the regular season when the Spurs are up or down 20 when he'll just go off. But he doesn't have the defensive ability at all to play at this point. So if he's not on fire, he has very little value. Like, he was bad at defense in the summer league. So,
yeah, are you watching for anything in particular in this game? You want the Spurs to start trying anything, or just a normal stop Oladipo when we win kind of game?
I want to see how Murray does. I'd like to see him try shooting from outside the paint. Especially against someone like Collison, and then Corey Joseph off the bench, who between the two of them is decent defensively. He only shoots at the rim really, or if he's very close to the basket. And I do want to see him start stretching that out slowly. He can make all these crazy floaters, but they're not that efficient of a shot. So if he's not going to start consistently taking at least mid-range shots when he's open or threes, it's going to continue to slow down the offense a little bit.
Yeah, I really like Murray just as a defensive guy. So if he can come around on offense, he'd be quite a little player. And this is against the Pacers with Darren Collison's a good game to do it. Outside of Teague, most point guards have had a nice game so far against the Pacers between D'Angelo Russell, Lillard, and Russell Westbrook, which isn't the easiest group, but still, not what you like to see. All right, Jacob, here we go. The official Nylon Calculus sponsored score prediction for the game on Sunday.
I have the Spurs winning the game by about 4 points. Let's see. I think that's 110 for the Spurs and 106 for the Pacers.
Wow. I'd be shocked if the Pacers drop 106 in this game. the defense of the Spurs is just too much. I'm not convinced it's possible, but I think they could do it. My official score prediction on our weekly preview was 94-85 Spurs. Ooh. But given that they dropped one, I'm serious. That low scoring sounds okay to me.
It might be. The Spurs games have all been pretty ugly so far this year, outside of the Heat game. So it wouldn't shock me to see that trend continue.
Well, in Sunday games, I just feel like are lower scoring in the middle of the day sometimes.
Oh, always bet the under.
Hammer the under on Sunday games. That's why I would say that. But if it was any other day, I'd probably go like 105-98 or something like that. I don't know. I don't think like the Popovich kind of play is the way to beat the Pacers. They've been kind of sloppier this year, even though they have finally found something with Oladipo that, you know, even if Turner's back, I still don't think they have quite enough to make it a game even at home.
We'll see. They have the rest advantage, so they got a few things going for them.
In Orlando tomorrow night, correct, for the Spurs?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That'll be a good one. The Magic have been surprising.
Yeah, the Magic Aaron Gordon. He's been killing it.
Nick Vucevic is the MVP, apparently.
Vucevic is like fourth in the league in my player value metric so far. He's been great.
NBA math, we got him at 3, right ahead of LeBron.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Just insane. That game against the Nets is really propping him up. You working on anything fun this week that everybody should be looking out for?
I'm working on a projection sort of what if piece on Derrick Rose. What if he hadn't gotten hurt?
Wow, I actually really want to read that.
If you're a Bulls fan, it's going to be very depressing.
I wrote about Dwight Howard today, and I had a nice Derrick Rose stole his MVP jab in there. So you can be on the lookout for that piece from Jacob. You can follow at Jacob E. Goldstein. You can follow his work on Nylon Calculus and other places, correct, still, or just Nylon Calculus still?
Just Nylon for now.
Okay. Be on the lookout for those. They're really numbersy, which, if you're like me, you really enjoy those. He has the statistical power rankings that currently rank the Pacers as the 24th best team in the league, so something's wrong with that, obviously.
Well, there's been a few games since then.
So. I'm joking. Jacob, man, thanks for coming on.
Actually, I currently have a 14th, if you're curious.
14th? What the heck?
Improvement.
Did the Minnesota game just shoot them up that much?
It helps a lot, yeah.
What's the now wins?
Killing like a team.
36?
41.
Wow. Let's go. All right. I would love that. I would love to see that. That's playoffs for sure in the East, so we can hope that Jacob gets us there. Man, thanks for coming on. You got anything else
you want to talk about? Thank you for having me. This
is great. Yeah, man, I'll have to have you on for more Spurs games.
Sounds good.
Spurs are my favorite West team to watch, so I'm excited for this game. I'll be there if anyone wants to meet up.
All right, sounds good.
Right. As always, guys, check out SeatGeek and use the code LONBA at checkout. For $20 off your first purchase, follow Jacob at Jacob E. Goldstein, me at TEastNBA, and this podcast at Locked On Pacers, so you know every time we post a podcast. And have a great rest of your weekend and enjoy the game on Sunday.